Let's see what the stew has in store for us today.
Welcome to the Gnomecast, Gnome Stew's Tabletop Gaming Advice Podcast. Here we talk to the other gnomes about gaming things to avoid being a part of the stew, but guess we'd better be good. This episode is brought to you by our awesome Patreon backers like the Cerebral Cyanimus, the Dutiful Dungeon Masters Block, and the extravagant Evan Harrison Cass. Today we have me, Ange, along with Tomas, and we are going to chat about how to pitch campaigns to your players. How do you get your ideas across and get their buy-in? Before we get into the main topic, though, we are going to ask our get-to-know-a-gnome question, which today is, what's your favorite genre of game to run? And since it's just the two of us, I'm going to have you start, Tomas.
All right. In that case, what's my favorite genre? That's interesting, because I started, as everyone usually does, when you start with D&D, with the heroics and just wanted to go in and battling a dragon. But as time went on, I started to find my place inside the many different TTRPGs and stuff like that. I've gone to all the places, but the one that I feel that is the one that I like the most or enjoy doing is mystery. I think that there's a lot of potential for having great stories with mysteries that doesn't necessarily have to be the only genre, because you can have your noir mystery happening, but you can have a mystery happening as well in your fantasy game. You can have it in your sci-fi adventure as well. You can have it in your kids on bikes games, if you like, because those usually feature some sort of mystery going on. The fact that you get to think of a whole convoluted plan for everything that's going on in the campaign that you're running, and for the players to get those aha moments going on, is something that they've always enjoyed.
Yeah, mysteries are great because you can insert them to almost any genre. As long as you stay true to the tropes of the genre, you can put a mystery in anywhere. I also agree with you on the whole D&D epic fantasy thing, because, you know, it's where I got to start. It's probably the place I feel most comfortable in running campaigns. Like, I can run a fantasy campaign without too much mental heavy lifting, but I think one of my favorite genres to play around in is superheroes.
I was going to say that. You all are always talking about superhero games.
Exactly. I just, this past June, wrapped up a campaign I was running that was a much more grounded superhero game. You know, no Justice League, Avengers, but still people with powers and dealing with now having to have those in a normal world. And that was a lot of fun. And I find with the superhero genre, it's not as easy for me to run because, you know, it's, you have to find the right game system to do it in. Your players have to be on the same page as you are as far as the tone and tropes you're going for with what you're doing, but it is one of my favorite genres to play around in. So, moving on to our main topic, even before Session Zero, a crucial step is to both find out what your players want to play and how to get them interested in what you want to run. So, let's talk about this. What is the best way to pitch your campaign ideas to your players? So, first up, what is the best way to first narrow down our ideas and find out what the players are actually interested in?
That's a fantastic question. I think I already talked about this in a previous Gnomecast, but the way that I did it one time that I'm pretty proud of what I did was ask my group of players, okay, let's fill out like a Google Sheets with the movies, comics, the TV series, whatever it is that we like the most, and like fill it with a bunch of those things. And then if everyone likes a specific movie or series, then it goes to the next round or something like that. And then once we narrow down all the possibilities, we choose among the few that we all very much want to play in and know well enough.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. I know with some of my groups, we end up in this situation where somebody will volunteer to run, and then they will turn to the group and be like, what do you want to play? And the group will turn back to them and go, well, what do you want to run? I don't know. What do you want to play? Yeah, but what do you want to run? So what I have started counseling people to do is come up with two or three games that you're willing to run, and then talk to your players and find out, like, what three of those are they most interested in. If you know which game systems you are interested in trying to run, figure out which of those ones the players are most interested in playing. The problem is everybody kind of wants to please everybody else. You know, the GM wants to give their players a game they want to play. The players want to play a game the GM wants to run. And so, like, let's narrow down our scope of what we're looking at first.
I couldn't agree more with you there. I believe that, like, narrowing it down to three, I think it's one of the best numbers. Three, four, a small pitch, like an elevator pitch for all of them, and then you can go all in. And this is something that I feel that, for example, a game like Daggerheart does really well with their campaign frames that are sort of pitches for different kinds of games that it could run within the system.
Yeah. I do think this is also, the answer to this question is also going to depend on whether you are talking about a group of people you have been gaming with together for a long time versus a new group of people that you're trying to pull together in a gaming group. Because you can go out there and just pitch, I want to run this, who wants to play? And see who volunteers. Whereas, like, with my regular Saturday group, I can go to them, hey, I'd like to run this. Are you guys interested?
Yeah.
And more than likely, they'd be like, yeah, sure, we'll give it a try. So it depends a lot on what your, you know, what the people you're trying to play with are at as far as your relationship with them.
Yeah, it very much depends on the disposition they have to play in certain games as well. Because many won't like, for example, horror games.
Mm-hmm.
And those people, you can't give them Mothership to play, for example.
Yeah.
Because they won't have a good time. So having a good range can always help a good bunch.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, even though several of the GMs in my Saturday group are interested in Call of Cthulhu, we don't play that as a campaign because they know that I'm not a horror fan, or at least not that kind of horror fan. But we'll do one-shots of Dread or, you know, other horror-esque games. It's just we won't do a full campaign in them.
Right. You don't want to suffer for so long.
Yeah.
Or have you suffer at least for so long.
So what is the bare minimum amount of information we need in a pitch before we give it to our players?
I believe that if you are going to pitch something to your players, you should go with the same thing as you go in an elevator pitch. The person that's on the other side needs to know exactly what they are into. If you are like trying to describe a movie that's in the cinemas to someone else and you want to convince them what it's about, tell them, or maybe doing comparisons can work as well. Hey, it's like Avatar The Last Airbender meets, I don't know, Bioshock Infinite. And in that way you can do some sort of blend of the two and they immediately get the sense of what the game is going to be about.
Yeah, I think it boils down to system, setting, and tone. You know, what game system are you going to run it in? So everyone knows, like, oh, okay, yeah, I know that system. Oh, I don't know that system. I'm going to have to learn it. The setting, this is where, you know, if it's a known setting, you could just tell people, hey, this is going to be set in Waterdeep in Faerun. They know exactly where you're talking about. Or they don't, and they can let you know that. Or you can let them know, yeah, this is going to be set in the canon Marvel universe, so you're going to be playing your own characters, but people like Spider-Man and Captain America are out there. And then tone. What type of tone is it that you're going for with this game you want to run? And that's actually a lot more important than I think people realize. There's a meme that went around a while ago, and it has, you know, a picture of the Avengers going, the team the GM was hoping for, and then the picture below it is the Mystery Men from a very goofy superhero movie from 20 years ago, and it's like, the team they got. That is always the GM's fault. Unless the players are being deliberately obtuse, the players are making characters that they think they're going to have fun with, and they did not understand the tone the GM was going for. So you have to make sure your players kind of have an idea of where you want to go with this. But I also agree with Tomas that getting it down to that actual elevator pitch, which is the, you know, the two or three sentences you can say while the elevator goes between floors to get somebody interested in your idea.
No, of course, making your pitch and also making sure that what follows is a session zero in which you can make sure that everything that you said there in the pitch stands and is going to accompany you for the entirety of the campaign.
Yes.
So you don't end up like with the mystery man that you were saying.
Yeah, it's if you end up with the players bringing a character to the table that you do not think is going to fit, you stumbled somewhere along the way between pitching the idea to your players and getting to the first session of the game. And that's where session zero usually helps. Find out who the players are going to play and make sure those characters are going to work in the world. And, like, find out what they want to play and work with them to find out if you can make that fit in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Because if you are trying to create a drama and, like, I don't know, maybe the people that you're playing with are not going through a very good time at the moment. Maybe someone in their family is not okay or something like that. Maybe that's not the best game to pitch at them.
So what have you done as far as, you know, like pitching ideas to your players? Have you done like gone with just one, here's what I want to do? Is everyone on board? Or did you go like, I'm willing to run this or this?
Well, the way I started with that is like going with just a single option. Let's do this adventure. Let's do this game and see what goes. But nowadays, because I have branched out into so many more games, and I'm very much looking forward all the time to try out new ones, I always give out a spread. Hey, I want to play these games. Which one are you the most interested in? If we were to play this game, it would be like this theme that you have, these topics that we will tackle. Something that I just did very recently was create a list that isn't small by any means. But because I'm playing with a group of people that are very experienced, like playing all sorts of TTRPGs, I gave them like 15 games that I was interested in playing. And I told them, okay, which ones are you the most interested in playing? And we narrowed it down and ended up playing Eat the Reich, which is a fantastic
Jared, fellow gnome, also does that a lot of times where he will create an actual Google poll and
game.
he's done this before with like different games he's interested in running, and he'll do it with, okay, he wants to run, like, I think he recently did it with, recently being a couple of months ago, Star Wars, but here are the things in Star Wars. Like, is this going to be rebels working against the Empire? Are these going to be smugglers doing things? Like, what type of story inside that universe, in that game system, are you going to tell?
Can be entirely different depending on what you choose to play.
Exactly.
Because if you're going to play smugglers, having a Jedi between you may break a bit of the immersion or the feel that you want to give out there, unless there's a good reason for it.
Yeah, you gotta, you can do it. You can absolutely do it, but you gotta work on your reasons why.
Exactly.
So you've mentioned before that you've used this to basically get your players to try new games that you want to run. What do you do if you've got your players are resistant? Like they really only feel comfortable playing D&D?
The thing with that is try to create a one shot as we have detailed on other Gnomecast episodes. But one thing that I have done as well, not really for people that are not willing to play other games, but it may help a bit with this, is in this list I created, I went all in and created a Notion page with that, with a lot of details for everything, like for each game, so that if you don't know what the game is about, either a link to the page in which you can get all the details, the tones in another row from the table, and then also which that we're used to, like movies, comics, TV series, stuff like that, it is similar to. For example, if you want to play Blades in the Dark, you can get some inspiration from that with, for example, the Dishonored game, a video game. So, because it's quite similar in the tone and feel. Those kind of things really help out people that don't know enough about the rest of the games out there. But if they see, hey, I would very much like to play a Dishonored game, and I don't think it's very simple to do that with D&D because you can kill stuff very easily and it's not made for a stealth game. You can try to do those sort of things to, like, encourage people to try out new stuff.
I think it is also perfectly okay to tell your players, hey, look, guys, I'm burning out on running D&D. I really need a change of pace. I would like to do short 2, 3, 4 session campaign of these games and let them choose between those different games. Because, like, your Players, if you're listening, you need to support your GMs. And if your GMs need to take a break from the thing they're always doing, which we know you love, if they need to take a break, help them take a break, whether it's you stepping up to run something for a couple of sessions or letting them run something else as a change of pace.
And it will only make everything better because your GM will come back to a game that you're playing with a smile on their face, having just finished a whole campaign of the thing that they loved, and maybe they can take some inspiration from that game and put it in the one that you were running all this time and make the game even better.
And I guarantee you, if you are a person who has only ever played one game system before, it is not that hard to play other games. There are a lot of concepts that are the same. It's relatively easy to be like, okay, your stats maybe have different names, but you still have these stats. This is the general dice mechanic. And now we're going to go tell a story together. I love trying new games. Yeah, I love having mastery over certain game systems, but getting to try new games is, there's so many out there, people. Try new games.
Exactly. If you know how to drive a Ford car, and then you go drive a Chevrolet car, it's going to be pretty similar.
Yeah.
It's not the best example, maybe, because they're both cars and they're made to work in the same manner. But nevertheless, games have very similar mechanics and use many of the same things. So if you know one, then you already know most of most games. Especially if you're going with a tough one like D&D or Pathfinder that are very rules heavy.
I have to share a slight tangent here. I helped my cousin rent a car, and I had to pick it up from the airport to bring it to him so he could use it. And it was a Hyundai, I think. And I got in, and I started the car pretty easy, because that was easy. And then I looked down, and I realized I had no idea how to put this park in drive, or reverse, or anything, because the control for that was so different from anything I had ever driven before that I'm like, what is this? But thankfully, we live in the modern age, so I could look it up on YouTube and be like, how do you put the car in drive? And you can do the same thing with a game system.
Yeah.
You know, if you're playing a new game system to you and something comes up that is like dramatically different than what you're used to, go to Google, look it up. You'll probably find some answers.
Yeah, and sort of before we jump on to the topic that we have been going with, stop being scared of failing while playing games. Because when you first started playing your first game, your first TTRPG, you failed a lot. I'm pretty sure of that. I can't be more confident about it. Because it has a lot of rules and you can't make it on your first time that you play in. And yeah, now you have the expertise, let's say, on that game. But you can get that expertise with many things. Maybe you are the best at cooking certain pasta. But if you want to try cooking some meat because you want to vary, you have to learn some new skills and you will have a great time by doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Failure is the best way to learn how to do something better.
Absolutely.
So what are some of the ways we can help get across the themes we want to explore in this new campaign we're pitching to our players? I think we've kind of touched on this a little bit before. I think comparison is a really good idea. You know, like comparing it to things people already understand and know.
Also, you can pretty much say what the campaign is going to be about.
Yeah.
It's going to feature a single villain that is going to be the Thanos of your game. It's going to have, like, maybe the campaign be all about a single siege that is happening and you're trying to defend.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's all about delving a single dungeon that you have to get through because you're awoke in
it.
By just stating ahead what the game is going to be about or which things you want to touch on the game. I want to make it so that there is a recurring villain every so often. I want to make it so that there is very strategic in some of the combats, but not all of them. Already give a lot of ideas out of that.
That Supers game I mentioned that I recently wrapped up, when I pitched that to the players, I explained that I wanted this to be the zero to hero story. These are characters who did not have superpowers through the opening of the game. They gained them. And I want this to be the story of them stepping up to be heroic. A lot of times, if you don't state these things out front, the players may not be on the same page as you, and they may turtle, they may try and avoid the call to adventure. Sometimes stating, I want this to be the story of the characters becoming big damn heroes. It's important to state that, as that's one of your themes.
Make it part of the pitch. Yeah, absolutely.
My players were absolutely brilliant with it. It was, I am so proud of that campaign. It was so good. But anyway.
Congrats.
So how much knowledge of the setting or the game mechanics do you expect the players to have when you give them that pitch before they get to session zero?
We have detail throughout this whole podcast. They don't need to know which game it is. Maybe they don't even recognize what it is. And that should be enough, because you're already telling them, hey, this is a game that is about this and this and this during the pitch.
Yeah.
In fact, with this Notion list that I said, my players did know maybe 1/4 of the games that they detailed. And that's about it. And they were excited to try out games that they have never played before and knew nothing about.
I think it might be more important, like, if you have somebody who's unfamiliar with the genre or your inspirations, give them a watch list.
Yeah.
Here's some things to watch. I ran a one-shot based on Horizon Zero Dawn for some conventions. And I would give some players a watch list of YouTube videos that kind of summarize the world and what it is, so that, you know, like, I knew, like, coming in, like, they hadn't played the game. So here, watch these videos. It'll give you the rundown on what this world is.
Showcase the idea of it.
Yeah, showcase the idea of it. They don't need to do research. They don't need to have a deep understanding of the mechanics of the game. If they do have some of that, great. You can use their knowledge as one of your resources. But for the most part, you don't have to. They don't have to know all of this stuff.
No, there's no need to. In fact, it can also play out very well, because you can surprise them with things that they don't know anything about.
Right. So what comes first for you, game system or game story that you want to explore?
That can vary a lot, depending on the day. Maybe I just really want to try a system and I will make the story out of it. But at times I just want to, for example, something that I have been watching recently with my wife is the anime Haikyuu, which is all about volleyball. And I am very much looking forward to playing some sort of sport-themed TTRPG, and I have no clue which one. I have been doing some research, and I found some ideas here and there, but I'm still, like, trying to find the right one to pitch to my players.
Yeah, sometimes it literally is just, I want to run this game, you know, and that is what you're pitching. I want to run this game. Here are the ideas that we're going to go with for it. And sometimes it is, I have this idea for a game and I need to find which game system I'm going to do it in.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Supers game I was talking about. I actually ran something that started in a very similar way 20 years ago when I was first starting to GM. And I ran in Mutants and Masterminds 2nd Edition.
Yeah.
I did not want to run in Mutants and Masterminds again. I love the game, but I didn't want to run in it because I'm not as confident with the mechanics. I basically retooled the concept and did it in Savage Worlds.
Uh-huh, yeah. And it can also showcase to you, like, how different a system makes the whole experience feel. I believe that's an amazing experiment to try out, like, playing the same sort of campaign with two different systems, to see how it feels in both of them.
Do you think these ideas about pitching campaigns to your players can also be used in writing blurbs for convention games, which are by their very nature one-shots?
Yeah, why not? In fact, whenever you're writing those blurbs, you are making a pitch. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And that's what the people that are looking for a game are going to read and say, hey, I want this. If you are pitching a movie to a publisher or something like that, I don't know too much about that kind of thing, and you want to sell this idea for a movie to someone that is going to invest on it, you want them to really like the idea. And in this case, it's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. It's like, obviously, you know, depending upon the event system the convention uses, it's going to already include the game system, you know, the age range, all of that. But in that blurb, you want to get across, like, who are these characters in this world and what is the general gist of what they're going to be doing? I have kind of a formula I use for. I have a bunch of different Tales from the Loop scenarios I run at conventions. I have a bunch of different Basin ones. And I'll usually come up with a one or two line blurb about this particular scenario without giving the details away. And then I'll include the, this is a game about these characters doing this thing in this setting. Tales from the Loop, this is a game of the 80s that never were. You're playing kids on bikes solving mysteries involving weird science. It's like you can definitely use these ideas when crafting those blurbs for your one-shots.
Yeah, at the same time, over there you are describing what the system is about.
Yeah.
So you are not only describing what you want to play within the system, but also the system itself. That's an amazing pitch that you provided there.
Any last thoughts on pitching campaigns to your players before we get out of here?
I want to say that it is something that takes practice. You won't be the best when pitching games for the first time to your players. I don't consider myself the best either. Play around, find out like different hooks to convince your friends about it. Maybe you don't need to convince all of your friends to play a specific kind of game. You need to convince just the one that's going to convince all the other ones.
Yeah.
That's an amazing thing to do as well.
Listen to everything we've already said. There's a lot of, you know, important things to keep in mind. You know, like, are these players you play with regularly? Are they new players to you? You know, is this a new system to everyone? You know, what are the themes you want to go for? And play around with it. I remember years ago when I was sharing a house with a bunch of friends, one of the guys pitched a game idea to us by drafting a scroll calling for adventures and then pinning it to the wall with it was basically a letter opener that looked like a dagger. So it was pinned to the wall calling for adventures. And it was just like, that was such a cool idea. You don't have to stab your wall to do this, but you can come up with creative ways to pitch this idea to your player, you know, invitations to whatever it is you're about to do.
Send it in an envelope.
Yeah.
Like, make some sort of a formal invitation to your players, and whenever they see it looking all fancy and everything, they'll be, okay, no, I'm in.
I did an Eberron campaign that basically started as a Sharn's Next Top Adventurer type of reality competition type of thing, which was basically going to choose who got to go on an expedition down to Zendrick. And I basically came up with the advertisement that was sent out.
To all adventurers.
If you're brave enough, come try out for this adventuring. You know, so you can play with it.
Yeah, there are so many different choices. The imagination is your limit.
Yep. This show is funded by the Gnome Stew Patreon. You too can Patreon back up by following the Patreon link at the Gnome Stew website to the Gnome Stew Patreon. We love doing this, and our patrons help us keep it going. The Gnomecast is part of the Polygamers Podcast Network, so if you're enjoying us, here's another show to check out.
Pandas Talking Games. Charming longtime gamers talking about tabletop role-playing games and making outtakes. Join Pandas Phil and Senda every other Wednesday, answering listeners' questions about playing, running, and designing TTRPGs. It's like car talk, but for your games.
You can find all of us at gnomestew.com, along with various social medias. Tomas, is there anything else you want to give a shout out to today before we get off the mics?
I'm going to take some advantage and just say that I just released the quick start for my game Rush and Punch. So if you enjoyed everything that we were talking about superheroes today, this game is all about being very fast and doing a lot of things in a very cinematic and high octane manner by taking some inspiration from board games as well, some elements, and bringing them over so that by the combination of all of that, you are superheroes that are fighting colossal kaijus.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
If that sounds amazing for you, then go ahead and get the quick start for free by just typing Russian Punch, and it is in pretty much all the places that you can get TTRPGs nowadays.
We'll also have a link in the show notes.
Yeah, that may help.
So, do you think this pitch of an episode was good enough to keep us out of the stew?
I really hope that it's enough for us to make a second season or something like that for these two, or else I don't know where I'm going to live.